good morning and welcome, to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff back after a couple of days off, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, Wisconsin's fall primary next Tuesday, August 13th. Very, very important that we all vote in this election. There are two critical constitutional amendments for the Wisconsin Constitution on the ballot that would essentially give more power to the legislature. They like to sit on lots of money. And so I will be voting no. Just saying. There are two rallies going on in Eau Claire as we speak. We're going to get around to talking about, we need to talk about Elon again, Volume 2, but we wanted to grab him while he still has time. Todd Alba is in Eau Claire at the site of the upcoming Harris Walls rally. How are you, Todd, Father? What's it looking like out there?
Well, I hope you guys can hear me. The Wi-Fi is a little spotty out there. That'd be the first thing I suggest to the Harris Walls campaign for a campaign promise. Better Wi-Fi and better cell service in northern Wisconsin in the Eau Claire area. So if this doesn't work, we'll try an alternative Wi-Fi. So I apologize if the connection is a little choppy, but it's a beautiful day here just north of Eau Claire in the old country jam grounds. Basically a blue sky. People are filing in. There is a long line. This event expected to get underway sometime after 12 noon. We will carry it here on Civic Media as a special report when it happens. Of course, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. Little sleep, Jane and Greg.
I hear you.
Little
yeah.
sleep. Yeah, wake up call 3:30 a.m.
Oh.
So it's been a long day.
Welcome to my world, Todd.
But yeah, it was early morning, but Governor Walz of Minnesota right next door. This is his first stop after the big announcement yesterday. And boy, you could tell it. All kinds of Minnesota license plates all over the place here. I mean, it is Minnesota country here in western and northwestern Wisconsin in Eau Claire.
That looks like a pretty big venue, Todd. I've seen everything from 10 to 30,000 people could fit in that place.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of keeping for security reasons the numbers that they expect under wraps. But, I mean, yesterday, I think you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I think they were around between 10 and 12,000 in Philly at that arena. They filled it up. There was overflow crowd. There were thousands of people outside. The hope here by the Harris and Walz campaign is to equal that today. And as you said, Jane, as you look behind me here, there have been bleachers brought in. This is an outdoor event. And it feels like a country jamboree up here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, today in Chippewa Valley.
Well, there was so much positive energy after the rally last night, and I think people are seeking that out. Yeah. I think people want this in their lives,
absolutely.
That kind of positivity, that kind of joy, that kind of forward-looking future.
Well, you hit it, Jane, and... But again, I'm sorry to throw it back and forth in my ear. It's a little crackly, but I think you threw it to me. And I heard the word joy, and you're absolutely right. That is one thing that Vice President Harris and Governor Walz of Minnesota talked about last night and yesterday in Philadelphia was joy. And you see it on people's faces. I can tell you kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff here. I'm not sure if it's the campaign or who, but they've brought in dozens and dozens and dozens of donuts. Now, I've not had one yet, but they're giving them out at the gate as people come in. They're having a donut. They're having water. And there's a real sense of excitement here. People have Biden shirts. They have Harris shirts. Already seeing Harris Walz signs here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin today. So you just feel this excitement. As someone who's been a part of campaigns in the past, when you walk into one of these things, you can kind of tell right away, is this kind of dead? Or is this lit? As the kids would say. I'm not a kid anymore, but that's
wow.
What kids say. I'm telling you guys, it is lit here in Eau Claire today.
Resident young person, Calvin, was that a correct usage of the term lit?
Yes, it was accurate.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Done. Well done. Well done, Mr. Alba.
And I absolutely agree with you, Todd. I've been to so many campaign events, and you know when you walk in the room, you can just feel the excitement of people. It's crackling and that energy. And as soon as – I mean – you know, when these politicians take the stage, it's like seeing someone go crazy for a rock star. It's palpable and it immediately gets into your system and you love it and feel it. And then sometimes you go and you're like, oh boy, this is going to be,
this will be interesting.
This will be a haul.
Yeah. I think we just lost Todd. As he mentioned, there's kind of a sporadic cell service And I'm sure, Todd, there are many people in northern Wisconsin who agree with you
yeah.
that they need better broadband. So we'll excuse Todd as he checks his connection.
Yeah.
And he will be checking in, of course, all afternoon.
Yeah.
His show takes off after the noon news from noon to 2 p.m. And as we understand it right now, the Harris-Walz campaign expected to start addressing the crowd around 1 o'clock. But that can always change. So
yeah.
we'll be a little bit flexible with that.
It's never on time.
All right. We need to talk about Elon, Volume 2.
Yeah.
We just did this yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday we talked about his quote-unquote America PAC. Wait, I think we're talking about, doesn't matter. Time's a construct. But we talked this week about Elon and his America PAC, which
was essentially defrauding people into thinking that if you went to this website, you get signed up to register to vote. And all they're doing is farming your information.
Yeah. If you lived in a battleground state.
Swing state.
Swing state, an interesting area. It didn't register to you to vote. It sent you to this area to put in all your information. And it just looks weird. And I went on the website on the show, during the show, I went there and there was no way to actually quote unquote register to vote because I live in Wisconsin, which is, I've heard, is of interest to politicians.
I think you might be right.
And it had nothing there but like some websites you could sign up for their mailing list. And it, like there was one link that just took you the exact page you were on. So Elon is trying to put his money behind that because he famously said he was going to give $45 million a month to a pro-Trump PAC. And then within, I think, 2 weeks said, nah.
Deeply held personal convictions brought to you by Jell-O.
Him and Kyle Rittenhouse changing their mind 30 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
But the reason we might need to talk about Elon Musk today is because it sounds like a name from the Flintstones, Linda Yaccarino.
Yeah.
Released a video regarding a lawsuit that they have filed. And Calvin, can you play the clip that we have of Ms. Yaccarino?
I was shocked by the evidence uncovered by the House Judiciary Committee that a group of companies organized a systematic illegal boycott against X. It is just wrong. And that is why we are taking action. Today, we filed an antitrust lawsuit against the Global Alliance for Responsible Media, four of its key members, and the World Federation of Advertisers. These organizations targeted our company and you, our users. The evidence and facts are on our side. They conspired to boycott X, which threatens our ability to thrive in the future. That puts your global town square, the one place that you can express yourself freely and openly, at long-term risk.
What? Let's
unpack a little of the history. The history behind this lawsuit is the fact that last November, there was a tweet that went out, and that tweet pushed a conspiracy theory that Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. Elon responded with the following. You have said the actual truth. That's the quote from the tweet. Advertisers and people on the website did not like this.
And were offended by this.
They saw this as very anti-Semitic material being pushed out there. Elon did not apologize. He did not retract. In fact, when he went to a conference and he was being interviewed, he said, what happens if they, you know...
What if advertisers don't come back?
What if they boycott? And he said, go F yourselves. Well, guess what they did is they left your platform. But now because of your move, because what you have said, they as private companies in the free market, in the global, whatever she called it, now you're upset. Now you're angry that X is being conspired against and we can't, and your global market of ideas is being threatened and it's the only place you can go. So basically they're just saying, oh, wah, 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 we lost advertisers because our owner's a psychopath.
Well, and they've allowed all kinds of people back onto the platform, which is why I say every day the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin, they've allowed Andrew Tate back on there. Andrew Tate is in jail in Romania for sex trafficking.
He's out of jail.
He's out of jail now.
But still.
I mean, the amount of horrific, very explicitly racist and misogynistic comments that he has allowed on this platform. And yet if someone says something that is against MAGA, they get their account suspended.
Yeah. So Dan Bongarino, which is also a name I feel like I just made
Bongino.
Up. Whatever. He's an
or
idiot.
Or Bing Bong.
Bing Bong Bongarino. Also, Andrew Tate, but also the former president. They were all thrown off of Twitter for pushing lies, misinformation, disinformation. The Twitter before, pre-Elon, was doing its due diligence, doing its work. As soon as he took over, he brought all those people back.
Yes.
And then started suspending journalists who were speaking up against him.
They're also looking at Twitter now to find out, because there were just a whole bunch of violent attacks in England, attacking places where immigrants are being housed.
Yeah.
They're looking at Twitter to find out just how much this helped feed this.
Yeah.
These very violent attacks that have been happening in England.
The most,
and feeding the anti-immigrant hatred.
The most recent account of suspending because you don't like was Dudes for Harris. The white dudes for Harris. It ran the White Dudes for Harris call. They didn't do it to any other group. Just Dudes for Harris, which was White Dudes for Harris, because they raised $4 million and had 100,000 plus people on a call and targeting male white men to talk about coming together to support Kamala. That account was suspended.
Yeah.
But he does the same thing every time. He suspends the account, gets in trouble. He threw up a Twitter poll to say, should we do this or shouldn't we do this? And then he reinstated because of the poll. That's not how you lead a company.
We're going to continue this conversation. We have a little more to hear from Linda Yaccarino, who is the CEO of Twitter. So stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Greg just got a new camera. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I just wanted to share this comment on the stream from Paul, who says, I love the show. I listen almost every day. Calvin is turning out to be the breakout talent of civic media. The Fonz lives. We agree.
I don't know. I'm pretty cool.
And we know Dr. Laura Hanks' father loves Calvin.
Yeah, where's my love? Who loves me?
Dr. Hanks, by the way, joining us coming up after the news at 11:30. We're going to talk about BMI again, something called the in-body test, and many, many other things. If you have a question for the doctor, you can always email that to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Just email it to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We were talking about, we have to talk about Elon again. Now, Twitter is suing a bunch of advertisers because they don't want to advertise on his platform because of all the hatred and the neo-Nazis and the racists and the misogynists. And advertisers seem to be a little bit uncomfortable with having their ads appear next to some of that content. Linda Yaccarino, who is the CEO, came out with a statement this morning. If you have a chance to watch it on YouTube, she's very pointy. Very pointy.
She, if you're watching the live stream, she does this a lot. She just
It's
like she's serving you. She's serving you a terrible casserole. Here, eat this.
Let's take a listen to the second half, Calvin, of Linda Yaccarino.
People are hurt when the marketplace of ideas is constricted. No small group of people should be able to monopolize what gets monetized.
Mm. Unless you're the one guy who owns the
this
place.
This group is no match for the power of our users. All of you, the very same users that have driven usage of X to all-time highs.
Is it?
No.
I joined X because I believe in the power of the global town square.
There it is again.
It's users like you, people of all backgrounds and opinions, who make X indispensable. You deserve an open platform where your views can be expressed without restriction and without fear. To all of you who have been part of this transformative journey that we're on, thank you. Rest assured, X has never been more committed to innovating and expanding all of our global town square.
Uh-huh. That sounds like that was written by AI.
It does.
Given by an AI person with AI feelings. Calvin?
Well, I just find it amazing that you have to explain free marketplace to the ultra-capitalist Elon Musk. Like, advertisers are in the business of making money.
Yep.
They're not going to stop advertising for you because they feel like it. It's because you're making them less money than you were before.
What is it that Ben Shapiro said? Facts don't care about your feelings.
Why would an advertiser want their message to appear next to blatantly racist, anti-Semitic, and misogynistic messages? That doesn't sound like a conspiracy to me. That sounds like a judgment call.
One of the advertisers was Disney, and Bob Iger was in the audience the day that that Elon told them what they could do with themselves if they left, and called out Bob Iger. I'm like, you're Elon Musk. That's fine. I get that. You're rich. You're a weird dude who can't seem to dance and exist correctly. But that's Bob Iger in charge of Disney. His company buys companies for fun. So this can all be tied back to the essential notion of, you know, perfect example. Tim Walz makes a couch joke yesterday. It's fun. It's dumb. I'm over it. Whatever. But people are still laughing. And some GOP right-wing pundit, tweeter, influencer is like, I can't believe Tim Walz just made a couch joke. How dare he be? It's like this notion of we can be as mean as we want. We can say anything we want the moment you get upset that we're saying this thing. You're the anti-patriotic. We are here for freedom. This is a place of freedom, free market ideas. And the moment that we say, all right, well, then we're going to leave. Well, wait a minute. You can't go. You're trying to hurt us.
Well, and I think, like, I don't know why this lawsuit's coming now, because I thought all the advertisers were back. I still get ads on Twitter, so I don't know what advertisers are talking about.
And I get Disney Plus ads all the time on Twitter. I think they're suing them for the fact that they did in the first place, maybe. I just think that this is absolutely ridiculous and just shows that they are just a bunch of sore loser babies.
Well, and I mean, does this mean now you can force people to buy advertising for your company?
Well,
that's what we're going to do now. You have to advertise,
honestly,
on Twitter.
What it might be is they might change the rules instead of saying, hey, do you want to advertise? You're going to want to buy a block this month or this week or do it too. It's going to be you have a 6-month commitment with X amount of dollars you have to spend. And if you try to break that contract, we'll charge you a quitting fee, or we can take you to court for violation of contract. I don't see them out of the realm of doing anything like that, where they force companies into marketing contracts where they have to stick with them. And they can't disparage. They can't do anything mean towards X, because, as we know, feelings hurt.
Yeah, Elon's very, very sensitive.
You want a good follow? Look at his daughter's Threads account. Oh, yeah, my God.
She's
got
fire.
She does not hold a back.
She's on fire. Calvin?
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
Right. But again, I mean, that doesn't sound like a free capitalist market system when you are going to force people to advertise on your platform, which has been losing engagement. I didn't realize. Is Twitter's engagement up this much?
Well, Jane, I don't know if you know this, but when you say words, that just makes it true, right?
Oh, right. You don't have to back it up with anything.
I am a billionaire who has 4 cars and a great head of hair. Ta-da!
Well, what I was going to say is the Supreme Court ruled that corporations are people and money is speech. So I don't understand. I think this lawsuit's an infringement on those corporations' First Amendment right.
There you go.
That's fair. Ooh, Kelvin. how being labor a lawyer adjacent helps.
I did a little check right here. It says in 2024, its global user base will drop another 5.1 to 335.7 million, which is a 32.7 million user loss in 2 years.
Because people don't want to be there because of all the hatred and horrific things that are allowed to happen, again, unless you're on the other side.
Yeah.
Then you get suspended. Then your account gets suspended.
Yeah. You don't like Truth Social? A little too weird? Come to Twitter. It's where all the hate resonates. I like that. Where the hate resonates. Twitter. Ooh. That's when I call it X. Ooh. That's when I'll call it X. X, where the hate resonates.
I'll never call it that.
When it's negative, we call it X.
I won't. Never, ever, ever, ever.
Okay.
Just because it annoys him.
All right.
And I'm petty that way. News is coming up next. When we return, we're going to talk about BMI with Dr. Laura Hanks. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for a public cervix announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Good morning, Dr. Laura Hanks. How are you?
I'm great. Great to see you guys.
Good to have you back. Yes, there's a lot of excitement in the air.
So much fun stuff happening.
Yep. We're jazzed as hell.
Or as heck, as Tony Evers would say. No, he did say
it. He did say it.
Pushing the envelope on the Tony Evers excitement scale. All right, Dr. Hanks, we spoke last week about BMI and how accurate or rather inaccurate it is to tell us how fit we are. Essentially, mm-hmm. our ratio of body fat to muscle. And then a listener contacted us at janesays@civicmedia.us and said her doctor recommended something called the in-body test that she believes is to be more accurate. So let's go back to the whole BMI thing and the limitations of the BMI that we're still using today.
Right. And the whole reason we brought this up was because of Ilhan Omar and rugby just kicking butt. Mm-hmm. And I just also just like, love seeing all the female athletes just like rocking it in the Olympics. I feel like Caitlin Clark, you know, sparked this off in the spring, and then just like the rise of everyone wanting to watch female sports, also known as sports.
Wait, what?
Did you guys see the Serena Williams, Venus Williams comment about the Harrison Butker speech? Well, they said they were promoting female sports, and they're like, oh, you know, it's sports, and we, you know, want everyone to come out, and we want everyone to be a part of it, except for you, Harrison Butker.
Well, and I think, too, the one thing I've really noticed, Laura, especially over maybe the last 8 years, 10 years, how much stronger the women look. Back in the day, female gymnasts were these tiny elfin little creatures.
And they're still tiny.
And they're still tiny, but these girls are so strong. It's miraculous to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Yeah. And, you know, I was realizing in our conversation about BMI that I didn't bring up the importance of waist circumference as another measurement that we sometimes do that is correlated to the comorbidities that we talked about. You know, the whole, again, going back to the whole reason that BMI matters, weight matters, things like that, because of the concern for the relationship to cardiovascular disease, diabetes, things like that. That being said, we know that BMI is not like the greatest tool. It's just what's been historically used. But there are more studies showing that like waist circumference, so that like distribution of fat that we talked about as well is important. Now, these in-body tests, I think are really interesting and are kind of a newer technology. I'm actually curious. I'm just realizing now, I didn't look up how much one of these costs, but essentially what they are is it looks like a scale and you stand on it. There's a little pads. You have to have no shoes or socks on. So you have to put your heels in a specific spot, and then you enter in still your height and your age. They take that into account. And then different than a regular scale, they have these little arm bars that come out to the side that have some sort of electrode on it. So it's important that you get your thumb right on it. And you have to hold these bars out from your body so that your arms aren't touching your body for some reason. I'm assuming like part of like the fat measurement. Yeah. So it's not all the way out, but it's like a 45 degree angle. And then you stand there for maybe 15 seconds and it does this some sort of calculation. And then you get a printed out sheet that breaks down, and BMI is actually a part of it, interestingly, but it breaks down the water, the intracellular water, the extracellular water in your body. I have no idea how it does that. I gotta be honest, but I think it's fascinating. Lean body muscle, and then the fat in your body as well. And it uses BMI in those calculations to kind of like show like where you're at within those measurements. And it's good for looking more over time. If you're interested in weight loss or losing fat, looking at your starting point and then watching as the fat goes down. If you're interested in gaining muscle, watching that number go up, and your weight might go up and your BMI might go up, but your fat might be going down. So it's a really interesting new device that we have. I couldn't find a lot of research or validation of it yet, but I think that that's coming because, again, it's new. Most of the like studies are on the device company website, which always makes me.
Oh, sure. Yep. Yeah, definitely. That's what, yeah.
But it had good results on there, obviously. That's why they posted them on there.
So I looked it up and I asked the question, you know, how much does an in-body scan cost? And it says between $15 and $100, depending on the business and whether you're a member. So like, I guess if you belong to a YMCA, they can do it if it's available, but the equipment ranges between $6,800 and $15,000.
So this is not something you're necessarily going to have at home.
Yeah, you're not going to be like, you're most likely like, yeah, you're not, unless you have that kind of money.
Yeah, that's kind of what I expected you to say. And that's why I was surprised that a patient said that one of their doctors had recommended it, because that's a lot of money for a doctor's office to spend on a device that may like not have like the like validation tool, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So
because this is pretty early in this product. These are early days of this product.
Yeah. And you know, right now it's like, well, BMI and waist circumference has worked well for us. Like it's pretty cheap, you know, and then that's what, you know, hospital administrators, that's their job, right? Is to figure out the most cost-effective way for us to do our jobs. And so maybe in the next couple of years, you'll start seeing them more in doctor's offices, but I think they're more in, you know, like weight loss companies, gyms that like, specifically are working on for patients for this and have, you know, the private funds for that.
Sure, sure.
Before we went to air, I'm sorry, before you were on the show, I should say, you sent an article to the both of us breaking down three key ways the BMI is not the best. I shouldn't say it's bad. It feels antiquated or outdated, but it does. I started to read it and you actually broke down the three ways. And I was wondering if you could talk about a little more of how the BMI just doesn't really nail down everything.
Right. And it wasn't me that said
no, 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 no. Yeah. You sent it to us. Yeah. You sent it to us.
I don't want to take credit.
Sure. Sure.
So the first, I'm just bringing it up too. So the first one is that it doesn't talk about body fat. So Alona Mar having a BMI of 30, I don't think that it's accurate for us to say overweight or obese for her, because she clearly is neither of those things. She is a strong, muscular, amazing athlete. So that's kind of like its first downfall, is that it's not telling you anything about fat deposition. And then the second limitation that this article talked about is that the correlation with body fat and how that's different between men and women, how men generally have less body fat than women do. And that's always goes into this whole interesting thing about like how easy it is for a man to die and how women can survive. There's so much more.
Seriously.
I'm sorry to laugh,
can I say, true. We're just better at things than you women, I guess. Dying's our thing. Get on board.
Add it to the list.
Yeah.
And then the third limitation is just that it doesn't, it all bring into genetic, metabolic, physiologic factors. So we do know more and more that obesity is a genetic issue. And so looking at someone's BMI who has a strong family history of obesity, their BMI, is not, again, they might have a higher BMI because of their genetics. And so like, it doesn't give you that information about it. And also metabolically what's going on in their body in terms of, again, the comorbidities like diabetes, are they on insulin? Are they having to like have a different diet for some reason? And so that's going to alter fat deposition and so on.
Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday at this time at 11:33 for a public cervix announcement. And if you ever have a question for her, she is an OBGYN, but you can address anything and you can always send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us, janesays@civicmedia.us. We've gotten a number of questions for Dr. Hanks that way, including this one about this in-body test compared to BMI that was sent in from Mary. So really appreciate that, Mary. We're going to talk a little bit about vaccines, Dr. Hanks, and I know we've done this quite a bit, but I think it needs to be repeated over and over and over again, because Donald Trump continues to say when he's on the campaign trail that he is going to withhold federal money from any school that has a vaccine, any public school, I should say, that has a vaccine mandate. And we're again talking about things that have been eradicated. Mm-hmm. The mumps, measles, polio, smallpox. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago when we talked about how rapidly something like measles could spread through one classroom and one school and then take this all out into the community. And it's just a matter of weeks.
Yep. Yep. I mean, in this, again, he's so frustrating, and he's so recently seems so unhinged and is just like going off on anything. He's mad because Biden dropped out, and so he can't use all his old things that he's saying. He's realizing he picked a loser for a vice presidential candidate. And so he's just like saying anything that kind of comes to his mind that he wants to riff about and that he knows gets some of the people hyped up. But you're exactly right. I mean, he doesn't understand the term herd immunity, and what that is when you get a group of people that are vaccinated, that's how the more that are immune, the way that's how you eradicate diseases. And one of the big ways of doing that is capturing people early on in school. And if you take that away, everyone's going to be sick. Like, he was the president when COVID hit. Yeah. Like, of all the freaking people mm-hmm. have, like, seen this firsthand and had to deal with it, like, he should know better. But we know that he, I mean, he,
yeah,
he
doesn't. We can't expect him to know better. You don't expect him to know anything.
But
that's.
But it's, and you're right. I mean, he's playing this to the anti-COVID vaccine crowd, but this will have widespread ramifications, not in a good way, mm-hmm. for all of us. And especially for if you have elderly people in your family, grandmas and grandpas or great grandmas and grandpas, and also very, very young children in your family.
Immunocompromised.
Immunocompromised people. We need to have vaccines in schools, folks. We just do. I don't want to bring smallpox back. I had measles when I was a sophomore in high school. It was not good.
Yeah.
Calvin, I'm just so glad you just put in our chat about his, everyone remember his Operation Warp Speed?
Yes.
Get that vaccine out.
Yeah, he was so proud
and
of me.
And then he realized,
my base doesn't like it. Yeah, now let's pretend. Oh, yeah, now let's run away.
But he's
really
still
good at runaway.
But he still, to this day, wants credit for that. And it's the only thing that I've heard legitimate pundits and politicians give him credit is that his team, not him, his team worked to get that vaccine out there. Fine.
Well, but he wants credit for overturning Roe v. Wade, too.
Yeah.
And now he's conveniently... Yeah.
Let's not talk about it. Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public cervix announcement. We will continue our conversation. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have been talking with Dr. Laura Hanks, public cervix announcement. She joins us every Wednesday at this time. We're going to pivot a little bit and talk about the rally last night by Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz in Philadelphia. They are in Wisconsin today. They're in Eau Claire. Civic Media is there. Todd Alba will be broadcasting from the venue. His show comes up right after the noon news today from noon to 2 p.m. So make sure you stick around and listen to Todd as he broadcasts. I believe the Vice President and Governor Walz are expected to start speaking about 1 o'clock. That's always fluid. Mm-hmm. But that's always fluid. So I wanted to talk about this with you, Dr. Hanks, because after yesterday's rally, and I was on, of course, Twitter because I'm obsessed, and I was watching MAGA trying to come up with a tax against Tim Walz. And they're looking really hard for something to pin on him and make it a negative. And what I kept seeing was Tampon Tim. They're trying to drag him by calling him Tampon Tim. And this is because, as governor of Minnesota, he made it possible for sanitary products to be available for free in public schools. And they're making this like this horrible, horrible thing.
I would have called him Tim Pon. But whatever.
Ooh.
Thank you. Just a lost opportunity. Just a lost opportunity.
I mean, this is a fact of life for 51% of the population.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's just classic. Like, first part is it's classic. They're just like throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks with their base. You know, this is what Trump does. Like, he's trying all these different things of like crazy Kamala. Or what is he? Kamala. I think that's
oh,
what
now he's trying. He's trying a new one now.
It's lying Kamala. He calls her lying Kamala. Yeah.
Oh, with an apostrophe.
Well,
with an apostrophe.
That's kind of a throwback to Hillary, too.
It's hack. It's all hack.
Yeah. And it's just anyway, but so that's part of it. I'm sure they're just trying out all these things because this guy is like just fantastic. And like, but the second part is just like hilarious to me because, you know, it's a bunch of old dudes that are like still scared to talk about tampons and that like that women or people with uteruses menstruate once a month is just like, you know, they it's a, the generation of like, we don't talk about that.
Exactly.
Like, oh, you know,
exactly.
I do,
you know,
as a guy, I do not understand. I understand the process. So, I do not understand why we find it to be so gross. No, it's not.
It's a natural part of existence.
On a surface level, our bodies, man, woman, or whatever, are gross. Let's just get on board with that. We do gross things. That's it. None is more gross than the other. And I think about this every time. It's weird. I think about this every time I have to clean the women's bathroom. We have little
at the club.
Yeah, at the club. Small little waste disposal areas next to the toilets where you can dispose your sanitary products. And I clean them up. I bag them. I don't even put gloves on because I don't care. I'm like, whatever. And I just think to myself, all the guys who would lose their mind if I told them I did this. And I'm not doing this for style or bragging points. It's just, this is what it is. It happens. Let's move on. And Tampon
wash
Tim isn't, well, of course I wash my hands, but that's, I do that after I have lunch. Point is, Tampon Tim is an amazing moniker to give him because he'll do exactly with that what he did when they were like, you might be too progressive.
Oh yeah, he's gonna completely own it and accept it, I think. And it's just going to be so interesting to see what else they're going to try to, as you said, Dr. Hinks, throw at the wall, hoping something is going to stick.
Yeah.
And trust me, the women who are in high school in public schools in Minnesota will remember this.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, he's done so many fantastic things and like first laws for LGBTQ people for affirming gender affirming care.
He helped mentor the first club, LGBTQ
the first club. Thank you.
That's the GSA.
He was the football coach, which was a really powerful endorsement for them.
A football coach, I mean, this guy, like, you know, his resume to people like us is just so impressive and so, but also so offensive to people. So it's like,
and
I'm surprised that, you know, like haven't said like, oh, he's secretly gay or something like that. Like, cause like that would also be so offensive to them. Or, I mean, maybe that's coming, but you know, like, I think we should, and that's what I love about Kamala Harris has done so far is just like embracing these things of just like, yeah, I'm a prosecutor and you're a convicted felon. Let's debate, you know, like, yeah, I am. I did provide tampons. I love that nickname. Let's make hats. Like,
you know? The fun thing is that what really frustrates them is that he looks so much like them. You slap a red hat on him, he can walk around those fairgrounds and wear those t-shirts and he could just, they don't. And that makes them, I'll bet you makes them so mad because he just looks an old white dude. But man, like, legalized marijuana, excellent environmental policy, queer friendly. I mean, jobs, like he has everything. And the fact that he looks like a grumpy old uncle, they're even taking that's our look. That's my look.
We want the grumpy old uncle. We got the grumpy old uncle, but guys, okay. Dr. Laura Hinks joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcement. Thank you so very much, Dr. Laura. We will talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Have a good day.
Don't forget, Todd Alba broadcasting from Eau Claire. Kamala Harris, Tim Walz expected to speak about 1 o'clock today, so keep it right here. I want to thank Greg Calvin, really glad to have you back. Thank you to all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today. It's a good thing. And you have the chance to share it. News is next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll talk to you tomorrow.